This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Diane Broadley.
Diane McConnell.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now, Diane, you've had a lot... How do we put it? A lifetime journey through music.
I have. I wouldn't be surprised if I was born singing because my mother sang all the time around the house and in choirs and played the piano at home and had the radio going all the time. And my father couldn't sing, but he did. And when we were following him on our horses through the farm, he would be singing.
Okay, so what sort of time is that? Your childhood, you're talking about what, the 1940s, 50s?
Yeah, 47 I was born, 40. So...
Okay. So you started with music sometime in 46.
Yeah. Yes, because it was January 47 when I was born. We lived on a farm out of Wairarapa, in the Wairarapa, out of Masterton, in a place called Tauru. So my father, we rode horses in those days and rounding up the sheep, and it was a big farm, so we did a lot of following on the horses while he sang his favourite songs, which was like Tumbling Tumbleweeds, Real Country.
Mm-hmm. And you joined in, or you just listened?
They called the Wind Mariah.
Oh,
no, we didn't join in, really. We were too young to know the words. We just listened.
Okay. So you were plotted very young on your horses. You were old enough to ride. Okay.
And there'd be probably two of us on a horse as well. But, it was just one thing. But I went to Sunday school and learned all the hymns, and I could say the Lord's Prayer, apparently, when I was about four. The other thing, Mum and Dad went to dances, and, they did all the waltzes and all the old-time tunes and all that sort of thing. And I learned to waltz on his feet, on Dad's feet.
So you were taken along as well?
Yes. Okay. I don't know. I was only young, probably about four or so.
All ages went, from babies through to the old grandparents, great-grandparents, all ages.
Yeah, because my brother would have been a baby, then. He would have been, two, I suppose, around about that age. Yeah.
And this was out in the country and all live music?
We lived between two places, Wainuiaru, which had a hall, and that's where we went to church, and we went to these dances, and Tauru was where I went to school and stayed with friends, and their mother played the organ in the church and all that sort of thing. So
sort of boarding at school?
No. This is primary school. But we had lots of parties in the district. Our farm was a returned serviceman.
One of those blocks.
And so was most of the
other
farms.
So it was all the families about the same age.
Yeah.
And
so at the parties, there was one family that used to hold most of the parties, and they had quite a lot of money.
So where did the music come from? Was it sort of printed sheets came in and people learnt the tunes from that, or from records? Or
radio, I suppose, radio? Mostly. I know that... when I was at school, primary school, we listened to the radio. We listened to the top 10 or something on a particular night.
Okay.
And pop songs. And that was the first thing we talked about when we got to school the next day, which was Top of the Pops.
Anything that stood out in your mind? Particular songs?
Or? Oh, all those. Connie Francis and Cliff Richards, and then Elvis Presley came along, and my mother nearly had a 65th.
he was shocking and outrageous. Yeah.
Mind you, I didn't like him at first. I thought he sang a little bit flat, actually. I don't think I'll be very popular. A couple of his top notes, but anyway, never mind. There was Cliff Richards and other nice Connie Francis with My Happiness, and that happened when a young chap came to work on our farm, and he played the piano accordion, and he played the piano really well. And he's still playing around Palmerston North, apparently, at all the retirement villages, the same as me. I know, he moved from there. How amazing is that? But he used to come and have dinner with us, and we'd go into the lounge afterwards, and Mum and I would sing, and he'd play the piano, and that was, you know, Connie Francis and all those Cliff Richard songs, and My Summer Holiday, and so... That was another experience I had with him there, and I suppose I went to boarding school, and that's where a friend brought a guitar back for me, and fifth form that was when I
had you played any instruments before then?
Oh, I played the piano, I learned the piano, sorry.
Okay, yeah.
I was going to say, primarily.
That's when I was about eight.
Yeah. Now, how did you take to that? I was going to say, all the practicing and things. That's what I recall as the problem for a lot of children.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
those who stuck with it benefited practicing. After
that. Yeah, I didn't really enjoy it. When I got to boarding school, I still learned the piano there, and sometimes we had to play the hymn for the assembly or something like that. I wasn't confident. I was a very shy person, and that really used to worry me.
So were you learning classical and going through the grades?
I got to grade 7, I think, by the time I finished. But
you were proficient.
That was when I went to Teachers College. That's when I went to Wellington. I still went to learn. Yeah, that's when I basically gave it up. It just got too much, and I got into folk music. And
that was always so. Your main exposure to folk was quite late, was it?
It was really, yes. Yeah. Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Bob Dylan, and when they came along. Yeah, it was mostly when I got to Wellington. But mind you, the Beatles were still. They were starting out too. They were really popular, so there was a lot of pop as well.
Because from England, the idea of folk, a lot of the folk was the sort of traditional folk, and then you got a few coming out with the more modern ideas of Fairport folk.
Really,
Steel Ice Band.
Yeah, because really, I was introduced to Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Bob Dylan. And, now we play all the traditional sort of Scottish and Irish and American traditional and now with for folk's sake, so it was really more a more modern
You said for folk's sake, so that's a group that you have now. Do you call it a group, a band,
a group, I think.
A group, okay.
Yeah, who play that's who I play with now, so that's more traditional, but since I joined the folk club when I came to Palmerston North, but in Wellington, I suppose I started to get introduced to it in Wellington too, at Teachers College, because I used to go to that cafe, the Mon Marie, and there were people like Bill Murphy, and they were quite pop. They were really popular.
So
and they sang more traditional songs.
Was that a sort of folk club then, or just a cafe with some...
Just a cafe, but all the folkies used to go and
perform
and sit around a table and perform. And
Mary
Seddon ran it, and she paid people to perform. Yeah. So
is that a tradition that carries on, or is something that's died out now?
Yeah, they had a big... get together just recently in memory of Mary. Okay. It might have been, how many years will it be?
Yeah, it's a while ago.
Well, maybe I don't know.
That. Yeah, more than but, that, if it was teachers' college.
Yes, yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yes.
But all the old folkies and things who were still around got together and and went to the cafe. And
I see that with the bent horseshoe thing, aging musicians getting further and further past retirement, but still going strong.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they are.
Is the Mont Marie still there, the cafe?
I don't know about that. I do not know, but it's off Marjorie Bank Street.
Up the hill.
That's where my music teacher, my piano teacher was, and I had to walk from Balcott Street Hostel right through town. The first time I got a bus, because I knew it was going to Courtney Place, and it went all over the place, of course. So when I came back, I didn't know what bus to get. They all said railway station. I knew I didn't want to go to the railway station, so I walked. Unfortunately, it was a straight line through to Balcott Street. Or I probably still would have been looking.
So in that cafe where you're doing the folk song group gathering, would it be like once a week that they'd all gather, or was it more like the local...
Once a week, probably.
Meeting place, yeah.
Probably. There was another one called, on Marjorie Bank Street, I think, called the Chez Paris, and that also had singers. And
So you went in to watch, or you participated yourself?
Oh, I just joined in sometimes, yeah.
Okay. Joined in, so it was a group singing, was
yes,
it? Or
yes.
Okay.
Oh, there were individuals like Mel Murphy singing, Max Winnie, I think his name was, but there were quite a few. I've actually got a record that was made of those singers.
Okay,
still got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it might not play now, but
so you were learning to play some instruments. Were you learning
to sing? At Teachers College, I learned the ukulele and all the children's songs and folk songs and things like that. That's where I started with the ukulele, but I'd already got this guitar when I went to boarding school, because a friend came back after the holidays with her guitar, which her father made, and he made famous song for famous people, but Peter Cape.
So what was her father's name?
I can't Derek. Remember.
Okay.
I just remember her name. Was Pauline.
Making guitars.
Don Toms. Yeah, he made guitars for him. But Peter Cape sang Taumanui down the main trunk line and down the hall on Saturday night. All the old, good old Kiwi ones.
They were good songs.
And we did go down the hall on Saturday night. Because in the neighbourhood where I grew up, we did have the hall and had dances, and everybody congregated there and played all the... I'm not sure how they played the music, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, that was a big thing in the district.
Mm.
So Pauline came back with her guitar, and then the next time she came back after the holiday, she bought me a guitar. So that's when I learned to play the guitar, and we used to have to...
So you were self-taught, or she taught you?
She taught me in the bath at night after the matron had done her rounds.
Full of water.
Sneak into the bathroom.
It would echo in there, wouldn't it?
It's quiet. You shut the door, and it's away from the dorm. Nobody will hear.
You think? Probably.
We never seemed to get interrupted. Nobody ever came and investigated. Yeah. And I think the matron didn't, once she'd done her round, she went back to her place. Yeah.
And in a boarding school, there weren't the areas where you could just go to get away from people.
No, that's right. Well, especially in a big long dormitory, which is where we slept.
Yeah, it's a bit different from my experience. As an undergrad, we had big accommodation in tower blocks, and you did your own cooking and everything in the flats. But you get someone playing on their sound system very loud at night. So the people on the floor above and the floor below, to be too noisy for them, they couldn't sleep. So the way they'd tell them to be quiet is to bang on the pipes. But the pipes run right up and down the building, so that carried to everyone.
Actually, that raises a point. You wouldn't have had a record player.
No, well, the first record player, I didn't get one until I was 21. I got one for my 21st birthday. But the first one was at school at one of these parties in the neighbourhood. And as I said, that family were quite well off. So their children had a big playroom area. And so all of the children went into that while the parents were having their party. And they had a record player.
Ah, what sort of records were you playing?
Well, the first one was a white sports coat.
And a pink carnation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. White sports coat.
And a pink carnation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all dressed up for the dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
Who
sang that?
Who sang that? It wasn't Cliff Richard, was it? No. Anyway,
yeah.
So that was the first time I ever saw a record or had
because that's, I mean, that to hear live music, that was the music, or else whatever was played on the radio.
Yes, that's right. You only had the radio basically, didn't you?
And that only had a couple of stations, and
yes,
there wasn't a lot of music, but there were a lot.
I don't think you had it in the car either, did you?
No, definitely not in the car. Well, we didn't.
Like today.
Yeah.
No, it was just, and then, well, like, initially, the very first experience was when my father was, we were living at Biddeford. Dad was working on another farm when I was a baby, and he was going into Masterton to town, and the car broke down. So he got out and went into the nearest house, which turned out to be someone he was in the army with, and it was his officer, and they just like, oh, fancy seeing you here. And they went to church, like he went to church, a local church, and his wife, and she became Auntie Faye, and she and my mother sang all the time and harmonised, and she played the violin and Mum played the piano, and I was about 18 months old, I think, and my friend was, she was born in December, so she was a bit older than me, 1 month. And we were just friends all through primary school. They didn't live near us, and we didn't go to the same schools, but we used to visit them on Anzac Day, and Mum and Auntie Faye would play the songs, and we would all sing, and the men would choose the next song from all the Anzac songs, and sit there with their beers and by the fire, and it was really, and that's what we did.
Because that would have been very, that's quite soon after the end of the war, so they'd still be very young, and memories would be quite strong.
Mm. Yeah, well, I suppose they came back in 1945, wouldn't it?
Well, some, maybe even a year or two later,
So they got, Mum and Dad got married when he came back, so.
Yeah.
And first of all, we were away out in another part out by the East Coast, and then we went into this place at Biddeford, just out of Marston, and then we got our own farm. I must have been about 2, judging from photos and things, when that happened. So that was another big, and Mum used to take me in Marston. They used to have, I think it was the Opera House, it was cool, but she used to take me to all the shows that were on in town. Musicals.
Were they putting on the operettas? You know, it's Gilbert and Sullivan kind of thing.
Oklahoma,
Charlotte.
Yes, all those. So I was pretty lucky in that respect.
So there was a lot of music, as you say, growing up.
And then the West Side Story, the movies came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was it normal for you'd expect people to be able to play something and to sing some songs and so on? Was that?
I suppose just sing. I think mostly because when we had parties at our place, Mum would play the piano and everybody would sing. And all they'd all sit around the piano and they all knew the songs and the words. And
Would you have any idea how long that sort of tradition carried on then? Or when it died out?
I know that was all through primary school. It'd be till I was 12, I suppose. Not sure after that.
It was about then TVs were starting to come in.
Yes, well, it was a while till we got ours.
In the 60s.
Dad had to clamber up a hill. Put the aerial up the top of the hill for us to get TV.
Early days trying to get a good signal,
holding it up in the air, turning around.
Oh dear, yes. Okay. My brother still talks about them trudging up the hill, him carrying all the heavy stuff and whatever it was, I don't know. Yeah. I just came home from boarding school and we had TV and that's all I know. That was when my sister was 2, so I would have been 12.
Was there music stuff on the TV back then? Pete Sinclair?
It only went for... It didn't go for long during the day, did it? It only went for a couple of hours or something.
5 or 6 or something.
I know. When I was a child, before I went to boarding school, I had to go to hospital for something to do with my kidneys. And I was in there for a couple of weeks and the matron used to she used to have barley sugars and she used to come and give me my injection, and so she made me sing a Sanitone dry cleaning advertisement.
Can you still remember?
Yes.
Are you going to sing?
Yes, I do. I mean, they Sanitone dry cleaning. And then she'd give me a barley sugar. Well, I had my injection.
There are many uses for music.
It's funny. I remember that one.
So you got much music at school?
Oh, yes. That's when we learned the recorder, too.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we had my friend, her father was the principal of the school, and he was Frank Bacon. He had a fabulous, he played the piano accordion too, and he got us into learning the recorder. And we actually did perform at a concert in Marston with our recorders, because we were one of the first people, schools or groups to play it, learn to play it. It just came out then. I suppose I would have been 10 maybe, about that, I guess. Okay. 8, 10, 9 Yeah, so that was.
And you enjoyed that?
I did actually. I know a lot of people don't enjoy listening to the recorder when their children are playing it, but
because it's actually quite a respectable instrument played properly, but it's just it was good as a beginner instrument, which gave it a bad reputation.
We've got somebody, we have someone who plays the recorder or the whistle, but one person who plays the recorder for some of the Irish tunes and Scottish tunes and things that we play now.
Back at primary school, so you would have been learning the piano, so you're reading music, playing the piano, you've got the recorder. How were there other children in the school learning other instruments apart from the recorder?
Probably. They'd probably be only learning the piano. I know that some of them also did ballet, and so they were listening to that kind of music.
Yes.
Yeah, that was another popular thing, but it was really only piano lessons or ballet lessons.
Yes.
So was there there were the sporty kids and the musical kids, or...?
Oh, no, we all played. Because I was in a school that only had about 50 children. It was a small country school.
If they need a team, you all had to be in it. Yeah.
So we all played cricket, rugby, Netball it was called in those days. Basketball, it's netball now. Yeah.
Well, there is a difference.
Skating. We started skating as well.
Roller skating.
Yes. We had all that music that you roller skated to.
Oh, okay.
But we roller skated at school on the tennis court.
Yes.
With our steel roller skates.
With the leather straps strapped to do them in. Off you go.
Strapped onto your shoes.
Differently.
But Dad used to take us into town to roller skating at night. Mm. So we had music to skate to and there too. And then he bought me a pair of proper wooden wheeled skates with the white boots on. They were second hand, but didn't matter. Oh dear.
So it was all a lot of fun, and music was a big part of
it. It was, just every part of your day. Because the other thing that they had when we were at primary school was the music on the radio, the country.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like the radio station.
Those classes came through the radio.
They had music on coming on the radio, and we used to sing. And we used to learn all these songs. And when I was, they have a folk festival in Wellington, and one of the folk festivals I went to, like recently, had the books that we learned from, and the people who were teachers in those days, with all those songs. And so a lot of us who were at that age, went to that session at the folk festival and sang the songs, and we knew every word.
They stick them, don't they?
And we all knew every word because they sang, we all learned the same song.
Okay. They were wonderful programs, so it would be once a week, and there were different levels, but once a week the radio goes on, the whole class is singing, and everyone has got the book in front of them with the music as well as the words, and then all the choruses down here.
Amazing, wasn't it? Really,
it was
when
great.
You think of the organisation to do that.
Yes.
This is part one of two. Listen next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website. And a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.